Board of Directors Business Meeting, June 9, 2026. It is now 5:06 p.m. We're meeting in Pacific City virtually and in person at the Kiawanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room here in Pacific City. Now I'll read the rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions and refrain from any speech of a political nature. We'll call the roll. Director Starotska?
Here.
Director Dole?
Here.
Director Shoemaker?
Here.
Director Anderson?
Here.
I'm Director Donahue, the chair. We'll now move to the minutes of the business meeting of May 12, 2026. Are there any comments? Or corrections? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I move the minutes of the May 12, 2026 business meeting be approved.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to approve the May 12th, 2026 business meetings minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Now move to the May 19th, 2026 budget committee meeting. Are there any comments, corrections, or additions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the May 19th, 2026 Budget Committee meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second to accept the May 19th, 2026 Budget Committee meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Continue on to the May 19th, 2026 special meeting minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the May 19th, 2026 special meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and second to accept the May 19th, 2026 special meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 5, our financial report. Accounts payable for May 15th to May 31st for 2026. Are there any comments? I have one, if no one else does. My apologies, I should have probably called in earlier. Just a second, that's payroll. There we go. Our general obligation bond payment is noted here for May 15th. $359,399, and under it is the it says interest. Is that the same interest for that bond payment?
It is.
Why wasn't it included in one check?
They come out. It is included in the same check, but they come out of separate line items.
A separate fund, or
it's not a separate fund. It's just a separate line item. There's a specific line item for interest
okay.
on the payment.
And that's general obligation. Okay.
Yes.
That's all I had on that.
I have a question. So $200 for Happy Hussy Flower Stop. Mm-hmm. Where is that place?
It's
Is it in Pacific City?
No, it is South County. They're located up Blaine.
Up Blaine? And it's flowers for landscaping?
It's for our hanging baskets.
Okay.
Are there any other comments or questions?
Yeah, one question.
Yes, Max?
I see a line item there for Beaver Water.
We own 50 acres in Beaver, and it has a water meter.
Oh, okay.
So, in case we ever need to wash anything off.
Okay.
Essentially, or use a hose.
Do we own that, you say?
We do.
Do we pay taxes on it?
No, we're a government agency. We don't pay property taxes.
How many acres, you say?
50.
Up out of Beaver, huh?
And we use that for...
It's where we apply, land apply our biosolids.
Oh.
It was purchased for that very purpose.
Interesting, yeah. Thank you.
But is there any timber on it?
Oh, no, not really. They're
not
mainly...
Good stuff.
They're composed of five different fields, and we kind of rotate the fields as we apply our biosolids, so we don't overload any individual field with high levels of nutrients or anything else.
Okay, thank you.
Is it just pasture?
Just pasture.
Is it leased out then? Are cows on it or anything?
No.
Oh.
No, it's just for our use to
just
apply
ours,
the
okay.
biosolids.
I didn't know if they even could.
Yeah, they could.
Okay, good.
Yeah. If it's suitable for the ground, it'll be suitable for livestock.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Before we move on, I was noting that it was another insurance premium month.
Yeah.
And expenses without the bond payment ran about the same as they did in April. There was also some fencing on there that part of the generator shed project, I think about $9,000,
yep.
somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, that was to complete the fencing. We had to repair some fencing that had to be removed in order for us to place the new generator shacks. And now that the generator shacks are there, the footprint's a little larger, so we also had to expand the fencing a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, I just have one other question here. The Springbook subscriptions. What are we getting for that?
That's our finance software.
Oh, the finance software.
Yeah, it does all of our billing, meter reading,
okay.
all kinds of stuff, and they have 24/7 support.
Okay. Okay. I figured it was something like that. I couldn't remember.
Hearing no further questions, I would entertain a motion for accounts payable.
I move that the accounts payable for May 15th, May 30th, and May 31st, 2026 be approved as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the accounts payable as presented for May 15th and May 31st, 2026. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item 5B, our general accounting books for fiscal year 25-26. Were there any comments about our general ledger?
This is all through May 31st.
It is.
We'll move on. To item 6, our manager's report. John?
Thank you, Tom. Well, we're still holding tight at 6 SDCs for water and 4 for sewer. We haven't had one come through for a couple months. We've only got three weeks maybe at most to hopefully have some more trickle in. But it's been pretty slow on that front, so there's no question we'll end the fiscal year with less than expected revenue from system development charges. But, you know, we'll hold out some hope that a couple more trickle in. Counted for water total.
Okay, before you
yes.
move to that.
Yes.
Question to you and the group. Has there ever been a prepayment discount offered to customers if they pay within 11 months or 10 months of start of construction?
That's essentially what this SDC is. If you, you pay it, you have 12 months to hook up.
You have 12, but there's no incentive to give anybody a discount if they paid in advance.
No, their only incentive is if you don't do it now, you're going to be going up 2.5%
the rates are gonna go
next
up.
Month.
That's your incentive. The rates are going to go up.
Yeah.
On July 1st.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we've, you know, what we're currently charging is based off of the SDC study that was done in relation to our water master plan. And, you know, that was the baseline for recalibrating that a couple of years ago. And we have been adjusting it yearly based off of the economic indices. And so we're where we should be to based off the studies that were done, doing a look ahead to determine what infrastructure improvements or what capacity enhancements we might need over the course of the next 20 years. So you know, the, as we alluded to, the discount is to do it before July 1st, every July 1st, otherwise they go up. But if we did offer discounts, we'd have to be very careful about that since the SDC has been calibrated to our projected future needs. And we wouldn't want to shortchange ourselves due to that. But but I do understand the sentiment for sure. You know, as we say, if what is it? Did you say 2.1?
It's about 2.5%.
2.5%. So, yeah. You know, hopefully, hopefully people can get in before the price increase.
And point of order, it is now 5:18, and I noticed that Jeff Piffinger has joined us.
Also, John, we're still projecting 10 for next year.
We are. You know, it's a guessing game. We hit 10 exactly for a couple of years. One year we had 26.
Yeah.
It's just been the last 2 years that our normal projection we haven't been quite able to meet.
And we have a board in our office of, like, property in progress.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely full. There's probably 35 properties on there that are in some sort of phase where we've issued them an availability letter, or they have paid SDCs, or we have spoken to them about their plans. We're just waiting on
their waiting. Waiting game. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure. I thought we were going to go ahead and project 10 for next year also. So. Okay.
If no other questions on that, unaccounted for water total is still not, has not changed, still north of 1 million gallons over the course of the month. You know, as I've mentioned in the last couple reports, we've looked, we haven't found any leaks. Our reservoir fill cycles and our reservoir drawdowns don't indicate any type of a big leak anywhere in our system. And that's the nice thing about our reservoirs is regardless what part of town it is, we should see some evidence of 1 million gallons if we were truly leaking that much water. And we've gone back, look at historical reservoir records. We just aren't seeing anything, which, as I've alluded to, is causing me to turn my attention to our production water metering, and primarily the production meter at Horn Creek. Beginning on July 1, we have budgeted for a new water meter at Horn Creek. It's a 12-inch meter, which is a good-sized meter. And we are hoping that once we get that meter swapped out, and the existing meter is original equipment to the treatment plant, I might say, so it has been there for a long time. But I'm hopeful that once we replace that meter, we'll have a hallelujah moment where we're able to account for the lion's share of this just with a faulty metering. And, you know, the meters are really all we've got to go by. And, you know, we've got meters on the consumption side that we read every month for water and sewer billings. And we've got meters on the production side. I've ruled out any problem with our consumption meters. They're just not old enough. They don't have a history of overreading. And if to account for this much water, we'd have to have a ton of them that were all reading poorly, which is just, the odds are just stacked against that. So
we're talking a million gallons, right?
Yeah, you know, and we're talking about individual three-quarter inch water meters. To account for a million gallons, we'd have to have probably hundreds of those that were reading incorrectly. And, you know, water meters, these types of water meters are been in used for a long time all over the country, all over the world. They don't have a history of issues, and I just don't believe the consumption side of the metering is our issue. I believe it's the production side of our metering. And you know, so we're gonna go after the most likely culprit, which is our biggest meter, the meter where most of our water routinely goes through on its way to town, which is our effluent meter at Horn Creek.
Is that a magnetic meter?
No, that's a mechanical meter. It's a propeller meter.
You mean the one we're going to...
The one we're replacing it with is going to be a magnetic meter.
And those are usually a lot more accurate, correct?
They're accurate, and they typically don't wear out because there's nothing in the pipe or in the water stream to wear out. You basically are just sending electrical signals through the water flow and using complex mathematical formulas, they spit back a flow reading that is very accurate and is very reliable, simply because there isn't anything to really break on these meters. There's nothing spinning in relation to the water flowing through them. They're not a nutating disc like our consumption meters or anything like that. So not only is it the most accurate form of metering, it's the most reliable form of metering. So, and oddly, the mag meter was about $400 cheaper than a like-for-like replacement meter, which means the price on these has really come down over the years. When they first came out, they were very expensive. But so that's the plan, and we'll get that ordered right on July 1st. We'll get it coming, and we'll get it installed, and we'll see what that brings. But I'll be honest with you, I'm running out of things to chase on this. So, but did do a study, and we've been an averaging about $1 million difference between consumption meters and production meters for about three consecutive years now. As long as I've been doing the supplemental report in the board packet where I'm calculating this, you know, early on I was just focused on percentage. But now I've learned, because of the fluctuations and flows seasonally, I've got to focus on volume. And now I'm focused on volume. I can see that for as long as I've been measuring it as authority manager, we've been right about where we're at, which means that this is something that's not new. And also, I think, indicates more and more that this is a bad meter that is causing our issue. So we'll get that installed and hopefully see a big turnaround on that.
And remind us what the acceptable percentage is. Well, the industry
standard is 15%. You know, AWWA is talking about pushing 12 or 10% as the new norm. You know, I think as water leak detection methods evolve, technology improves, I think that I think it's reasonable to begin to lower that expectation. Any questions about that? A quick update on the 600K reservoir radio tower proposals. I didn't put this on the agenda. I put it in the manager's report because I don't have any updates to report to the board about this. I haven't heard from Tillamook County since our last meeting, and I haven't heard from the adjacent property owner since the last meeting. Still expecting a formal written proposal for the board, but I haven't seen it yet. But I know one is forthcoming. I just can't say for sure when we will receive it. When I do receive it, I will present it to the board at the next meeting. But as I've explained, we've still got some coordination that has to be done between Tillamook County and the adjacent property owner for access, for an access agreement. So, but none of that has taken place yet, and I haven't heard anything. So, my update is I don't really have any updates. I don't have any more information than I did last month at this point. Generator enclosure project. Still waiting on a few more parts to finish the generator exhaust piping. Once that's done, the project is done. I at this point, we are so close to the finish line, I don't see any way that we won't have this done by our July meeting. And so this is likely going to be my last update about that. Everything is just about wrapped up.
So, are you waiting for thimbles, or what are you waiting
we've
for?
We've got the thimbles. We got to order some pipe hangers and a few more black iron pipe sections. And when I ordered those parts initially, I did my best estimate on how much pipe we need, what lengths of pipe we needed, what fittings we needed. And now that the generators are in there, we can see that I didn't nail it exactly, and we've got to order a few more parts. Woods lift station upgrade. We completed that project last month. That consisted of two new 11 horsepower submersible pumps with variable frequency drives, which means that we are entitled to rebates from Tillamook PUD for those, like we received for some of our other earlier lift station upgrades. They usually base those on a certain amount per horsepower. Well, our other pumps were 5 horsepower. These are 11, so the good news is that we should be rewarded for installing pumps with VFDs with a pretty respectable rebate from the county, and we're appreciative of that help that you can get for installing more efficient systems. The variable frequency drives allow pumps to run at different speeds and ramp up and down instead of being a single speed pump that just shuts off when it's not needed and turns off when it is needed, which is a much more efficient electrically. And so we have all of the lift station upgrades we've done have variable frequency drives. In addition, we installed a new wet well level control system, a new three-phase duplex pump control panel, and a new remote terminal unit to provide remote monitoring and control. Until now, we really haven't been able to see any fault conditions at the Woods lift station, other than just our drive-by and stop inspections, or if our alarm light is flashing red and a local property owner calls us to notify us. We've never really had any remote monitoring at this location, and now we do. So we can see pump cycle, run cycles, how many starts each pump, how many stops, total run time, and also through that remote telemetry system, be able to bring alarms into our system for things like high wet well, low wet well, pump fail, those types of alarms that we've never we've never really monitored before. So, you know, this was our last lift station upgrade per se. Now we've moved from panels and pumps to discharge piping, which is another big need at about half of our lift stations. And I'll talk about that next. But we've got, so not only do we have those upgrades done at all of our lift stations now, we now have remote telemetry units at every location in town. Except, well, our wells. We're working to get a little more added to our wells. But all our lift stations are now covered with that type of system. All of our reservoirs, so we're doing well. We're upgrading with new equipment, and we're also increasing our remote monitoring and control abilities at all these locations. So that was a big part of that project as well. If no questions, move on to what I alluded to a couple minutes ago, the Straub lift station discharge pipe replacement. We completed that job at Straub lift station last month as well. It involves replacing the discharge piping that connects to the discharge of the pumps deep in the wet well, comes up, goes through the wall of the wet well, and then connects to our collection system. We've replaced all of that discharge piping, which was in significant states of deterioration at some of our stations. And we've also replaced the check valves. We've replaced the isolation valves, the gate valves. And not only have we replaced those, we've taken those out of the wet well and brought the check valve and the shutoff valve out of the wet well environment and installed it in a vault, a concrete vault, below grade, so that we can access those parts and maintain those parts much easier than we were ever able to do before. Not only that, but those parts are now out of that horrible environment that causes them to fail faster. A lot of corrosion and other things going on in the wet wells. And now we've gotten them out of there. We don't have to do a confined space entry to inspect them or to service them or anything like that. So we recently did a similar job at Kiwanda. I guess it was last year. We've done Straub now. We've still got Roger, Cindy, Madrona to do. And I might be forgetting one. Beachy was already done before I even came to work here. Those discharge lines were replaced. So, Ella, I think, has already been done. We got to do it at Ella, too.
The panel and pumps have been upgraded, but we haven't put the bolt on the outside.
So we got four more to do then.
Correct.
And it sounds like next week we're going to do Rogers.
Yeah.
Is that right? So we just finished this one a few weeks ago. Now we're ready to move on to the next one. And we'll try to get at least two more done in addition to Roger before the end of the year. So so progress made there as well. The North Broughton Water Main Improvement Project, decided to put that in the manager's report as opposed to the agenda because I don't have a ton to update the board about. But we did have a team of surveyors from Parametrics here. They were here up until the end of last week, and I think they were here for about a week and a half. And they're doing all the surveying work that is necessary for them to finish up the plans that they've started to draw for us for this project, the engineered drawings. And in fact, last week we were doing traffic control while they were getting invert pipe elevations in the manholes all along Broughton. So we're talking about from the four-way clear up to the Woods Bridge, that they were in the middle of the road. And we did traffic control for them for 3 or 4 hours. And I think it went pretty well. It's an unusual job in that the work site kept moving down the road instead of staying in one place. And when you've got a flagging crew set up and signs and all that type of stuff, that's a challenging situation where every 20 minutes you got to move a block down the road and reset up and then open up another manhole, right? So, so we are continuing to make progress on the North Broughton Water Main Improvement Project. The surveying work is now done. It's an important part of the process. But it's really the only thing I can point to as something that progress has been made since our last meeting. So I wanted to update the board about that.
So I just wanted to mention, a couple of people asked me about what was going on and what they were doing, and I tried to explain it the best I could. People are very positive, you know, and I've explained there's going to be some disruption next year, and people seem to be okay with it, if that's what it takes to upgrade the system and provide better services.
Yeah.
There may be some that aren't supportive, but the people that talk to me have been very supportive.
I haven't heard any negative at all.
Well, that's good to hear, and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah.
I heard people that were really glad to hear that we're getting rid of the AC pipe. That was a big bone of contention a few years ago, and we're finally getting that replaced. So there was a lot of relief from a few constituents out there that I ran into.
Yeah, and that's great. And you know, I wanna just say in full disclosure, we've still got 3 sections of AC pipe left that we have to get rid of. But this is the longest section. This is, but the water main that branches off in the 4 directions where the road that the 4-way stop. Mm-hmm. For at least a couple of blocks down each road, whether it's east on Pacific or west on Pacific or north on Broughton or south on Broughton, that's where the AC pipe is in town. And so this will eliminate the longest run of AC line we have, which is the line that comes into that 4-way intersection and heads north. Up to the Woods Bridge. We've got a short section that goes west, a short section that goes east on Pacific, and then we've got, I think, a little bit longer section that heads south from the 4-way. Does that stop at the Slough Bridge? I think it does. Or does it stop before the Slough Bridge?
It transitions into ductile iron, and then it turns back into
A section of AC.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we over time we will get rid of it all, but we are getting rid of one of 4 remaining sections. But I think it's the longest section.
Okay.
So. And if there's no other questions, that's all I've got for the manager's report, Tom.
All right. Well, I would like to point out that.
Please, Tom. I forgot the most important parts.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I thought maybe Tom was going to do it.
No. I'm sorry, Tom. I passed it over to you. I get to talk some more. My favorite thing. Anyway, a couple of employee issues. For the third month in a row, Jeb Pippinger, a man sitting in the camel coat over there, third month in a row, he successfully passed a certification test. And that is a clip that I've never seen before. That is knocking him out.
Right.
And rumor has it, he's going, you've got one more left till you got to stop and catch up on some experience time, I think. Right, Jeb?
I got 2 more.
You got 2 more?
Yeah.
And the one you passed last time was a distribution level 2, And you're going after the fourth in four consecutive months, I think, right? And which one that one's going to be?
It's going to be water treatment two.
Water treatment two. Well, that's excellent, and we wish you luck. And but, you know, always like to point out the staff, these certification tests are no joke. They're not easy. Frequently take a great deal of study, and Jeb's put in the work, and he's knocking them out. So I want to recognize Jeb for that.
Jeb, do you have any idea hour-wise what you have into it?
What's that?
Hour-wise what you have into the certification process that you've gone through in the last 3 months?
A lot. I pretty much any time I go home, weekends, everything, I got my nose in the books or in the computer. I recently just figured out you can study with AI. You can ask it to pull the information from certain areas and ask it to generate you a quiz. And so you can kind of like pre-test before you go test. And I found that to be helpful. So, but yeah, the last several months of my life, I've been pretty much just studying.
Well, I think I can speak for
speak for
the board. And congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations!
Thank you for the effort.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, we that's not to mention sometimes we send the guys to they have these 1 day prep courses for the various levels and the various different types of tests. And but it's still that's still an 8 hour day, right? You know, and so sometimes we send our staff to those, which seems to help. But Jeb's found a unique way to keep his knowledge sharp, and it's obviously worked. So the other employee issue I wanted to mention, not quite so celebratory, is Dale Pesterfield, who has been with us since July of 2018.
8 years.
Yeah. And you know, and he's been a valued employee at the authority. He has submitted his resignation. Dale is going to pursue a job opportunity in Alaska. And his last day of work with us will be June 17th. We're sorry to lose him, but we wish him well, obviously, and you know, people got to steer their own ship, right?
And didn't he work in Alaska once before?
No.
Somebody did there.
Jason,
I knew somebody had.
Yeah.
What was his certification level?
Dale had reasonably good certifications. Mm-hmm. I think he had ones across the board, which is four separate tests. Plus, he had a CDL that we're going to have to replace. He was one of our backflow assembly testers, which we may have to replace. So you factor all that in, and that's a lot of skill that will be leading us and that we will miss. He feels this is the right life move for him, I think we all support him in those decisions, just like we would anybody. And we'll miss him. We've already begun the recruiting process. We've already got a few applicants, and so we'll work hard to try to fill that position. You know, usually when we hire at the entry level, an operator in training position. We found it's hard enough to fill the position when you were looking for an operator in training. If we were asking for somebody that had Dale's certifications and experience, number one, we probably wouldn't find them. At least might be interested in somebody, but are they interested in moving from the Valley to Pacific City or somewhere else? Because I don't think there's a lot of local people that have the type of certifications. So, you know, the trade-off is we lose somebody with some valuable skills. We gain somebody who comes in at the entry level and that we grow from within. But that's how we've been doing it for years, and we seem to be able to keep up. And, you know, we're able to
we're able to keep going. There'll undoubtedly be a period of time where we're down an employee while we're working to interview folks and so forth, but we've been through this a lot of times, and you know, we'll get through it again. But I'm pleased to report that that process is already well underway.
Good.
So now, Tom, I think I'm done.
All right. Let's move on to item 7, unfinished business. The authority manager review process. It's my understanding that our HR consultant has started or finished interviews with staff.
Nearly finished.
Nearly finished interviews with staff. As soon as I get our consultant's final report, we will have you know, timelines for when we need to get our reviews in or for John's review. It's looking like we should be, we're well on schedule at this time, so we have a new form that we spent a great deal of time updating, so I'm looking for a smooth sailing on that.
John, your self-evaluation, you'll have that before.
Yeah, so we were actually supposed to have the employee interviews done last Friday, but we still had a couple of employees that hadn't got to them mm-hmm. yet. So we extended that through close of business tomorrow okay. to give the rest of the employees time to get those done. I think we'd all like to have 100% participation in that. And so we can spare a couple more days to be sure we do that. So based on that, Tom, I would think that a week from this Friday would be, and probably sooner, Tom, you should have the follow-up summary report from our HR consultant. Not Friday of this week, but certainly Friday by the following week, which I think should still keep us on a good schedule. I proposed having my self-assessment done by Friday, June 19th, and get that over to you, Tom, and you can distribute it to the rest of the board. But if I get that to you by Friday, June 19th, that gives the board over 3 weeks to do their individual assessments and for you to compile them into a single report, Tom, and with the hope that at our July 14th business meeting, the one next month, that we'll be able to do the executive session and the other things so that we can finalize and finish that review.
Okay, and your anniversary date is the 28th?
My anniversary date is the 19th, which means that we'll actually have it done 5 days early, which I think is a record for us. So I think we're on a good schedule.
Yeah.
If that all sounds agreeable to the board and Tom, so
yeah, that would.
Yeah. So that's just wanted to let everybody know where we were at with that process.
Okay. Thank you. Item 8, new business. We have Jason Stewart here this afternoon to tell us about.
Why don't you get plugged in, Jason?
You guys want to turn around?
Yeah, I think we probably at least want to move our chairs around so we can face the other way. Why don't you focus on just getting set up there, Jason? It might take a minute or two. And do we still have, since Jeb's here, do we have anybody remoted into the meeting at all? What I'm saying is you may not have to do that with the team.
So I don't have to do that very
much. Yeah, because I'm looking and there's nobody that's sharing the meeting remotely, so you don't even have to do it within Teams if you don't want to, Jason.
Okay. I don't need Teams now. Thank you.
So everybody remembers Jason, right?
Turn on his name, Jason.
Stewart.
Stewart.
Yeah.
James Stewart.
Jason.
Well, that's how I'll remember it. Yeah. Jimmy Stewart, Jason Stewart.
That's actually my uncle, or a cousin, Jimmy Stewart, lives in Tillamook.
Sorry.
So, I guess to start with, everybody knows what GIS is, geographical information.
I think we pretty much have.
You guys all pretty much have a good idea what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, with that, before I get into Diamond Maps, I can show you a picture of the front page of it. There's Diamond Maps. That's what we go into every day, pretty much. But how we get to Diamond Maps, or how it all works, is a couple pieces of equipment, and this is taking a second.
Are you hooked up to the Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
It's got like a little X on it.
It doesn't look like
you are.
Settings. It was working earlier.
He's not hooked up to the cloud.
It says you're off.
Not connected. Oh, it does.
Wi-Fi on. There you go.
Yeah.
It looks like it is.
It's just slow.
What is going on here? I don't want to see this.
Jason, if you hit that, would it show anything? Or is that
yeah,
it looks like you're on now.
Looks like he's on now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it looks like you're on. Okay.
Granted, that didn't help. But.
Yeah, it's still going slow. Ah. There we
go.
All right. Obviously, this is about Diamond Maps for us, for Pacific City. But this guy right here, if it gets there,
you're gonna have to talk slower.
Yeah. I don't know if that's gonna help or hurt.
Yeah, that'd help.
Okay. That's Mala. This is ground penetrating radar. So I don't know if you guys know what GPR is. I can explain it a little bit more. But this guy is the one you see us walking around the streets with. Looks like a lawnmower. You probably have all seen us with this. But this little guy is a genius. So this is what it does. If it gets there again.
Wow.
It's slow.
No kid.
All right, so it's just it's an electromagnetic field that jumps off of the antenna, off of Mala, hits a full pipe, and then bounces back up to it. And this is kind of what it all does for, and it works better with a full pipe than it does an empty pipe, always. And it doesn't sand, gravel, dirt, it all works pretty good. Sand works actually better than the rest, but that's all it really is just a magnetic field that hits the full pipe. And this is what it shows us when you see a pipe. So, see these hyperboles right here? This was the 2-inch?
6-inch.
This was 6-inch line. You can see when we run across it with Mala, it shoots these hyperboles. And these AIs are the top of it. But those are the pipes, a full pipe, full of water, showing us exactly where they are. And we can walk up and down it, and this is what shows every time you walk across the full piece of pipe. Is these, and then we know when I walk across it or Jeb walks across it, we paint a dot on the ground and we just keep going. And then we can paint the whole line once we get the whole line marked, or the whole line mulled. But this thing, you can see these guys up here.
Yeah, what are those?
So that was cable TV. Uh-huh. That was the biggest difference, is you have to know the width of these hyperboles for water, sewer, and then cable. Usually cable, this is deeper, obviously, and these are shallower lines. And cables usually run south, shallower, obviously, than water. And sewer will, like the pressure sewer will show up like this, but the gravity sewer is a lot harder to find. It just takes some practice, but these hyperboles are a lot wider with a sewer line. So it's just taking this with time, getting used to what is what in the ground, so.
So if you're digging to one of your our lines, you have the potential for a telecommunication line that is above.
Yes. Okay, and I'll show you some pictures of what we ran into just because of that.
Okay.
I'm just trying to show you, you know, exactly how we get to this diamond maps of what.
So this is the raw data that,
yes.
And then once you mark the paint, then you can precisely GPS that.
That's right? Where I'm going next.
Okay.
And there's the GPS. So this little fella will get us within sometimes 3 inches of our line that we have painted on the ground, right? It'll get marked onto diamond maps. Well, it'll be within 3 inches when we mark it with the GPS. And then we throw we'll be on diamond maps on our phone. Someone's at the door, I don't know. Sorry. Anyway, we'll be on diamond maps marking it as we go with this GPS within 3 inches.
And diamond maps has subscribed to somebody's satellite to get this information.
Yes, we have to. There's a satellite that we use. The closest one for us is in Grand Ronde. I actually had to deal with the Salem people that deal with it. It's called GNSS to locate satellites that would be best for us. And that's called NTRIP, which Jeb's actually the only phone that works with that freaking NTRIP. But so I'm getting closer to diamond maps. This is the old diamond maps that I showed up here with 5 years ago that we had to locate water, sewer, and everything with. This is Leonard's masterpiece. This is his go-to. Like when he says there's no water line there, this does. And I said, no, there isn't, because Maul is not lying. He goes, no, there's a water line there. I said, no, there isn't. This is where me and him go back and forth about.
But yeah. Maul is usually right, I think, isn't he?
Maul never lies.
Maul never lies.
Maul will never lie to you. Should find something, but whether it's a sewer line or not. But this is what it looks like convoluted. This is diamond maps when you open up our maps. But I'll go into our maps now so you guys can kind of see.
And you can see, I mean, that's pretty much the whole footprint of our service area.
Yeah, this is pretty much the whole town.
And you can see it. And Jason, before you go there, I mean, can you talk a little bit about, you know, how this has been a grassroots effort? We've got people like Jeb who are very knowledgeable about this. I think half our crew has become very proficient with this software and with being able to map these utilities precisely. Using this type of equipment. Right?
So you can see this. I just opened it up. We have our whole water and sewer system in one map, the top one. And then I separated them into water and sewer because they're convoluted, right? It's really a lot of business going on. And then the one's the new water project for North Broughton, and I just have it separated so you can just grab it and go. But so yeah. We got this, if it works, there it is again. Okay, we got this August 13th of last year. And this is what pretty much the whole crew has done.
This is like during locates, we try to utilize and add things to the map. And then
yeah, every time there's a locate, exactly. Every time there's a locate, that someone calls in and needs something located.
So yeah, this just hasn't been a 10-hour-a-day effort. This is just pieces of time that we've had.
Yeah, this is no one. So you can see on Ocean Drive here, right? This was one of the first lines we did, if I can get it to... Well, here, you know what I'll do. Why is my mouse not working?
Grabbed the wrong one.
No.
Set it on a piece of paper.
Oh, it's just so bad this way. I don't like
there it goes.
I'm using my hand, but we'll go to accounts. Oh, come on. This mouse is killing me. There we go. I'll just go to water. Okay.
Yeah.
It's trying. See?
Okay. There's Ocean Drive.
Okay, now we're on Ocean Drive, but just water, right? So you could see this little right, this ball right, that thing right there. Just click on it. That's a water ball. That is where we have had a leak before, and it's in the ground. We have it marked and GPSed. And now we are within 6 inches. If we need to, if another leak pops up, or we need to know, you know, whatever's going on right there, we can do it. Does everybody know what a water ball is, or a sewer ball?
A ball in the
so pipe. When you uncover a pipe, and after trying to locate it, and sometimes having a hard time doing it, when you got the hole open to do the repair or do whatever you need to do, there are these little plastic balls that send out radio frequencies. Perpetual. And sewer balls are on a different frequency than water balls. And so the idea is just with a standard locator set to the correct frequency, we can always find that point that we had open and drop that little plastic ball into. We literally just drop it into the hole and just bury it when we backfill the hole. Huh. So, but that's, yeah, so those are water balls.
And then, so you can see the, I got the mouse to work. Thank God. But this line, obviously, is the water line in the ground. Or try. It's a 2-inch diameter pipe. I don't know why it is. We can't obviously get a picture of the line. But we are within 6 inches right here of that water line with Mala. We can get within 6 inches. All we do is take that GPS right back out there and get on Diamond Maps, and we can mark it within 6 inches of where it's at. And this is what the future is for, well, us for sure. So if I back up a little bit here, this all came from one of those classes that John was talking about, OAWU classes for our test. I was introduced to this in a class. And this is made for smaller systems like ours. Because I don't know if you guys have guessed this, but how much this Diamond Maps actually costs per month. I mean, usually GIS systems are ridiculously expensive.
John mentioned that. This saves a lot of money.
Yeah, tens of thousands of dollars to hire a consultant to do this for us.
And this is $30 a month.
$30
a month. For this kind of, and it throws it all into a cloud, and it is ours to keep forever. No matter what. So, say water, obviously ocean gets a lot of sand, right? And then a meter will get covered up. If I can get there. Water meter. It has the tax lot, the size, the address, and then I can go into where it exactly is.
Pictures.
It'll get there.
So slow.
Yeah, you actually take that picture and put it in the system?
Yeah, we could take. We take it every time out there. Anytime we do a locate, any of us all, it's been a combined effort for everybody to do this. I don't know.
So pretty much everybody is involved in this.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. I just kind of took the realm because I grabbed it from a class. And I'm like, this is. There's Spencer. We'll get there eventually.
It's a
So there's actually a picture of the meter that you zeroed into. So for every point in the map, you can attach pictures,
there
you can attach information.
So yeah, any information you want with a meter that we want, like we now we got some, we can kind of see where it's at based on the house, and there's always another picture. We try to grab a couple if it gets there. Something relevant to the area where we can find it faster, but it's also on the GPS, right? Yeah. All we have to do is take the GPS out there, walk to it, and it'll show right up.
And that shows up as a little yellow dot on the screen, and so you just hold the wand over until you hit that yellow dot where it says the meter is, and
yeah,
start digging.
That's pretty much, because ocean's obviously really bad with the blowing sand, and everything gets covered up, so...
Maybe this is going to be in your presentation, but how much of the water and sewer lines are currently mapped?
So I can't give you an exact, but we're
guess.
Over 75%.
We're over 75%.
We're at 75%.
Just since August.
Pretty much we're at 75% because basically the one thing we don't have, not completely, the heights. We haven't got to the heights yet. So... But this was another one the other day me and Jeb were doing. This line is the one that runs right up behind the bar, up that hill. So me and Jeb were up there. I was like, let's see if Mola can do it. So Jeb grabbed it. And then this is what he was doing. Well, I was right there with him. Man, it's slow.
I could scroll down.
Yeah, you're not going to get it.
Sky.
Was that the
internet's slow today?
Yeah.
Is that PC in? What was that structure?
That was 40.
Oh,
that
was.
That was the okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You can see him up on the hill, and we were running it sideways on that hill, and we found the water line up the hill.
Precisely.
Is that a push thing or is it motorized?
Push. It's all push.
Wow.
And you're going up a steep hill.
Yeah, it was the first time we went 4x4 with it, pretty much.
Then it worked like a champ, didn't it?
Oh, I found the line, and that's the thing. This line, no one knew, even Leonard, who's been there, I don't know how long it must have been, 25 years, 30 years. He's like, we've never really known for sure, and me and Jeb ran it up there, and we found it.
So that's the line that goes from behind Sporty's up the hill?
Up the hill.
To Hill Street up there?
To Hillcrest. Yep. There he is. That's us really.
Oh, my gosh.
On the side of the hill trying to find that line.
I see where it's going.
And the beauty of it is now that it's been located and precisely marked with GPS, we can always go back and find it very quickly and very accurately. For the rest of eternity.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's ours. And we'll find it within 6 inches of wherever we marked. Wherever everyone's marked. And like this intersection, the four-way, we just did this. Me and Jeff came in and...
And that's going to be... That's the part of the job that's going to factor in big on this Broughton water line, right?
Right.
And all those circles are valves.
Yeah, all the circles are valves.
Precisely located.
So when you replace... This line is this that won't disappear though. The new one will just show up.
Yeah, we'll change color and that'll designate an abandoned line.
That's exactly what I'll do. I'll just change the layer, and that's what I was going to get into next. So, Tillamook County, John came to me and said, Tillamook County wants all of our fire hydrants. And I said, okay, we can do that real fast. This is called the layering of this. So, I can go down here and I can get rid of. Oh, we want the hydrants.
You can get rid of all the noise except for just the hydrants.
I can layer this. So now I have, well, John said we need to get all the hydrants, and me and, well, everybody, it was like a Wednesday afternoon, and he said, we need all the hydrants. And I said, okay, well, let me make sure they're up. Well, me and Leonard went and finished up. Everybody had already done them, but except four. That's how fast we had got these. So Tillamook County needed this. I can send this as a link right to his computer, and they get the same exact thing that we're getting. It's interactive. They can drive up and down streets with it. They can do anything they want with it. It's just they're not going to get all of our stuff, just what we want to send them.
Okay. Right.
And then they can go in there and do whatever they want with it. They can go in and out. They can click on it.
And we probably don't have pictures of all the hydrants yet, do we?
We don't have pictures of all the hydrants. But, yeah, I was trying to find one when we do that.
But, you know, so you can, when you click on these points, you can bring up data that tells you the make and model of the fire hydrant. You can talk about the flow rating for the fire hydrant.
You can?
Yeah, you tell. We tell of everything. Yep. Everything we need to know in that hydrant.
Somebody told me the other day that they're very expensive.
Fire hydrants?
Fire hydrants.
They're pretty expensive.
How much do they cost now?
I want to say five or six a piece. Five or six thousand.
$100.
But you
fire?
Yeah.
But you can tell if you got a hot one.
Yeah. We can tell you, we can put any information in here that we need to give to anybody that needs it, or us, for us especially. It's really for us forever, right? Going back to, you saw Leonard's old diamond maps. That's no longer, right? We're pushing him there. He's getting there.
Maybe you could frame it and give it to him for his retirement.
Yeah, there you go.
well, think about this, you guys. When we lose Leonard, who's got 28 years of institutional knowledge.
That's where I was going with that.
That's right.
We, as much as we love Leonard,
I know.
We can do this without him now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We can do this with employee turnover and losing all that stuff, right? Because this will be available to all of us for forever. And now we'll know, we won't have to guess, we'll know exactly where everything is. And when we get a locate request, as we often do, fiber optic folks is down, they need to dig a hole in the road, and they want us to do our locates.
And that's kind of what kicked all this off.
Yeah.
Because fiber was coming to town, and they're going to be boring everywhere. And we're like, well, we don't really know where everything is. When I showed up here, it was using witching sticks
in those trees
and that map to find water lines.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen you out there with witching sticks.
Yeah, now it's to the point now. We're moving into the 21st century. I think, well, John's done a lot to make this place move along big time. This was kind of mine. Well, there's a few other people that really got into this.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, definitely some guys took the lead on this. And, so the green sewer, is that right?
Green is sewer, and go ahead, Jeff, what do you got?
Well, before we move on too far, away from the water or whatever, it's also a really cool tool because, like Jason was saying, we could add leaks and everything in there, and so we can actually progressively watch and see the degradation of lines in our system. So, you know, you have one that, oh, we had a leak, you know, in 2011, and then 2012 we had 4 leaks, in 2016 we had 19 leaks.
Yeah.
You know, and so
you can see the same line.
Yeah, then we can start mapping out those water projects.
Yeah, I'll bring up a water leak that we have pictures of. I mean, like we take a picture of it and map it, and anything now. Yeah. If that's not being brought with you, you're making a mistake for everybody. It's all of us, you know. So I'll go back to Ocean here. All of Ocean's marked with sewer and water. And then these guys right here are the sewer laterals that run into each individual home. With a picture of, if they get there.
Yeah,
what is
it? Wasn't this slow yesterday?
No.
Scroll down. But we have four or five computers with that to go to. Still loading it.
It's coming a little at a time.
It's still not very good internet.
No, that's slow. But Ocean, was that the first neighborhood they were on?
Yeah.
Boring crew? I think it was. That's what kind of jump started.
Remember the first day we had Mala? They couldn't find the lion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a great story. The first day we got Mala, the very first day, me and Jeb took it out, and the boring crew could not find the water line. We drove across it, found it immediately, and they bored right on top of it.
Oh.
found it.
Didn't
break it. They found it themselves, right?
So they potholed it. You guys were right on top of the pipe.
Oh, we were dead on it. The first day we had Mala.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a manhole. Tells you exactly what's going on there. Mm. But this is all throughout the system now. And it's marked all within 6 inches. So this is all going to be something that's going to last PCJ forever, right? It's not going to go anywhere.
So this will make paper maps obsolete in a big way. And that's okay with us because paper maps are, you hope they're 85% right, but they're not always right. This does not lie. And this is retrievable. This is going to be
and it's ours forever.
Yeah, Jason, would you toggle between some layers at some point just so we
can
show everybody? This is the beauty of GIS systems is they have these layers, so that if you want to see something spatially in conjunction with something else, you can do that. If you want to eliminate all the clutter and just focus on one particular thing, sewer lift stations.
So I can pull up lift stations or I can do manholes, but that's another genius of this thing is we can make all of our own layers however we want, anytime we want. We can make as many as we want. So I'll just do manholes. We'll just leave manholes up there. If someone needed to know.
Yeah, if we're just focused on manholes.
There's all our most of our manholes in the system.
Precisely located.
Within 6 inches. I'm saying.
Wow.
What's that? Yeah, it is. Well, it's just nice to know, right?
Yeah.
It's nice to know everything.
And every point, as you see, you can add information to it. You can pictures.
That's what we try to do is get a picture of the manhole and then paint where the lines go from that manhole, right?
So the Mala itself and the satellite connecting that's all our equipment.
We own it. And the reason we got it is because, as you said, Astound was coming in and they're doing fiber optic all over the service area. And what we saw is unless we get better with our locates, we're going to have them hitting a lot of our lines.
Yeah, Mala wasn't cheap, but I think if they're hitting three lines every other day, that's going to get way more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I think Mala was about 23,000?
22,000.
Okay.
22,000, the GPS was about six?
Five.
So for that investment, this is equipment we get to keep and will be useful to us forever. That's our investment into this GIS system.
Okay, question about calibrating. Is there a maintenance and calibration you have to do on either one of those?
There is a calibration on Mala. Calibrate the hyperboles in the ground.
But that's just on the screen.
On the screen.
But not the actual device itself, no.
No, there is
it's
no...
It's pretty bulletproof.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
I think of radar guns for highway patrol or whatever, and they have to have theirs calibrated.
Yeah, it's not that. It's all on the ground, right? It's not. We're not going 80, and trying to. It's just a matter of finding that full piece of pipe or empty piece of pipe. And I can go back to that picture, but.
So does the fire department have access to all this information? Because I would think that some of it, at least, would be really useful for them.
We have the ability to find hydrants that are mapped. But the question would be whether or not we've done that recently since Mala's been purchased.
Yeah, you probably haven't done it. I mean, I can send you whatever you need.
Well, I'll do some background on that offline.
Yeah, before we get too far away from the locating portion of it, I don't know if you guys all know kind of the rule of thumb with locating. We have to be within 2 feet of our line. And if we're outside of that and we mark it and they hit our line, that's an expense to us. If they hit it and it's marked accurately,
that cost is on them. So not only is this saving us a lot of money just in general, it's also saving us money on the back end because we're able to make these more accurate.
Good point.
And do and make and locate it much quicker too.
Correct. Well, that's the thing now. Like, we'll get a locate for Rochelle, send me and Jeb a locate for Ocean Drive that's buried, and they're going to do fiber optic into their house. It takes us literally 5 minutes now that it's located, instead of witching it again or maybe drawing a line. Yeah, looking at that, looking at freaking Leonard's map.
That well, thing. Now I want to make it clear, that's not the only map we
love
have.
Leonard's map.
That's not the only map we have, but it's one of our favorites. Because
I've seen the room with maps in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of more maps, but I'm just going for instance, because this is the one when we the water line comes up, Leonard goes to this first.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't read Russian. Sorry. Yeah. This is, you know.
I have a question. We have some inspection equipment, and I believe it's mostly for sewer, but yeah, I suppose you could use it for water too. Can you, if you use that inspection camera, can you put that data into this application too?
Yeah, well, not directly into it. I haven't gotten to that far into it yet, but what we would do with that situation is we would run the camera down, say Roger, and we would follow it and paint it as we went, and then we'd bring the GPS and just follow our paint.
Because our sewer camera also has a locator on it.
Yeah.
And so when it's going through the pipe, we're able to follow it with our locator.
That's
and so then we can mark the ground and then we can come back with the GIS, stick it right on top of our locator.
So let's say you found a weakness in that line. Could it take a picture of that and then?
The camera will not take a picture.
It just shows you on a monitor.
But.
Well, yeah, if you wanted to get fancy with it, you could take a picture with the camera. It's its own piece of equipment. We can upload that onto the computer and then download it on the
Yeah, phone. You could take a picture of what's in the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not with the camera itself, but yeah. No, we would use that. We use that for GPSing also, for sure. That's like he said, we have the locator that finds the end of the front end of that camera, and that's how we follow it. Mm-hmm. Knowing we just follow it with the wand and we'll mark it as we go and then come back and GPS it. I know that's how Rogers and Stevens were done.
Now, when you talk about the cloud, it's Diamond's cloud, or are they subscribed to somebody else?
It's theirs.
Yeah.
It is theirs.
We subscribe to it, but it, as is always the case when you have a cloud subscription that you're loading data to, the data is owned by us. Our data file is owned by us. The software is not. We subscribe to the software. But anytime we want, we can download our data file and transfer it over to a different program or anything else we want to do with it.
So you could back this data up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can take it wherever we want if you want to take it
and
somewhere
you can stick
else.
It on a stick. And
what is the... could you talk a little bit about the security of this information?
That's
kind of where I was going.
That's controlled.
So this is only ran... There's only... Well, everybody can get in at work. Everybody that's employed.
Everybody
at work. At work. Not the public. That's right. Kind of why I was going with the Tillamook County asking for the fire hydrants, right?
Right.
All I have to do is send that link to it, and all they can see is what I sent.
Right.
So.
And they cannot make any modifications.
And they can't change it. They can't do nothing. And there's
that.
Only about four of us that are admins that can really get into it.
Yeah.
That have all the access to it, Jeb, me.
And because all they wanted to see was the fire hydrants, we only sent them that layer.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just sent them.
DUD has a similar system, and they do the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Jason, unless you want
to... Tailored request.
You're going somewhere. On the water side, could you go through the layers a little bit on the water side, too? Because I think they're a little bit more...
I'll do this so you can kind of see. I'll go into the big one, and then I can eliminate layers down to... This has everything in town. If it gets there. Once again. So, like right now, I can just click off sewer, and all my sewer goes away. Except for the ones that we've added. like not our step systems, you know, isolation valves. I can get rid of all the water real fast, but we'll get rid of all the sewer, maybe. You can kind of see it all get a little looser or a little tighter.
And then, like, yeah, I mean, go through a couple of those because, you know, everybody's familiar with some of this stuff. Like,
where are the step systems?
Yeah, well, the step systems would have been on the
sewer. Yeah,
one,
sewer.
But,
so I can just go to all our water repairs that I know we have had since we've started Dyna Maps. These are all water repairs in the system that we've fixed since we've had Dyna Maps. Leaked on galvanized line, repaired with PE pipe, galvanized pipe. So that was just a little footnote for the leak that happened there.
And not all the leaks are going to have pictures. You know, obviously some of them are at night or, you know, after hours, or we're just trying to...
Yeah, here's a good one. This was the one, yeah, lower loop.
That was a pretty big one, wasn't it?
Yeah. This was...
The lower loop.
Oh, that looks ugly.
Yeah, that was...
I was trying to find a better picture. This is the water coming out of the ground, obviously. Is that them finishing up?
Oh, yeah.
As Jeb was talking, this will give us a good record of where the weak points in our system is over time as well, and will help us in planning, pipeline replacement planning and all kinds of stuff.
But yeah, I can eliminate anything you want, just like I said about...
So let's see where our water wells are. Click the wells.
You just want to see the wells?
Yeah, let's just see the wells. So...
I'll get there. There they are.
Hello.
There they are.
Blue stars.
Yep. Those are our wells.
Those are our wells marked with GPS.
Okay.
And yep. Let's say well 4.
Location. And we have pictures.
That this is all the new stuff.
Yep.
And there's well 4 with the door open. The on-off, the HOAs, and then our chlorine pump is in there.
How much does this affect the master plan? Because the master plan is how old currently?
Well, master plan's probably only 4 years old. But you know, our priority on line, like water line replacements, and sometimes just based off of our recollection of where most of our water leaks usually occur. But of course, on the water side, a lot of the work we have to do is not necessarily replacing bad lines. We have to upgrade small lines or upsize. Jason, maybe one more. Let's see where our pressure reducing valves are.
Water.
A little higher.
Yeah, by CPRVs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down. Last water. Down.
Why? Oh, there they are. Sorry.
And so there is all our pressure reducing valves in our system that create the different pressure zones.
It's a good picture of where it shows where that top, or how far off the road that our the tank is up there on top.
Oh yeah, the 600K is up
there.
Yeah. And of course we've got a water storage one too that will identify all our reservoirs and things as well.
Right.
So this thing has done wonders for all of us. This has changed everything for. Yeah, I saw this. Well, like I said, it was a year. August 13th.
Well, and I was a little skeptical because it's like, yeah, you know, this is going to cost us six figures to hire somebody to come do this for us. We're going to have to set aside 3 full months just to support these people while they're going around. This has been, other, you know, buying the equipment to help us get there, $30 a month to rent the subscription to it. And we are 75% done mapping it all ourselves in less than a year, completely grassroots, and it is
dead accurate.
Yep.
And you got exposed to this at some training thing you went to?
I went for a class. I was taking my water treatment one. Yes.
And was Diamond there in a booth or something?
No.
Or?
So it was in between. They had just taken a break, and someone was asking about GIS. And one of the teachers, I think it was Monty, said, have you ever seen Diamond Maps? And I was like, no. And he goes, well, let me pull this up for you. He'd done Gold Beach. And he had mapped, well, not him. They took Diamond Maps, and they had their sewer system marked within 30 days with Diamond Maps. So that's when I grabbed onto this, and I brought it back to John, and I said, look at this. You got to see this thing. And then the biggest selling point, well, I thought was because we were talking thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I told him the price, and he goes, no way.
You're lying.
You're lying to me. And I said, no, it's $30 a month for yeah, for this kind of program, which is priceless to us. Absolutely priceless.
Yeah.
And it's a concerted effort by the whole crew. I can't take credit for all of it, for sure.
Yeah, well, Jeb and Jason have both taken a lead role in this, and, what is really, in my mind, the most important thing here is that this is our legacy we'll hand down to future operators and the future years of PCJ, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is this thing's not going anywhere. Yeah. Anytime, like I said, getting a locate now, well, sometimes Rochelle will hand us 7 locates, you know, and then if we know we got it located, we walk over there with paint and a GPS, and we're done.
Well, we pay a company to do locates for us.
No, we do them all ourselves.
We have charged for locates.
Yeah, they charge us to do locates at the request of other people.
It's free for you to call in a locate, but it costs us.
This eliminates
Before, you were taking a guess at where a water line
is. Yeah.
Now, we walk up to it with our GPS, and we know it's there. We mark it, and we move on. We know we are within that 2 feet to where they can. And then if they hit it, it's on them. It's not on us. So
is that 2 feet on either side?
2 feet all the way around.
Okay.
Yeah, all the way around the pipe.
This is really a fun thing to watch grow, because like Jason said, it started out as he went to the class, they told him about it. Mm-hmm. We kind of didn't cue John in right away, and Jason set up a free account, and we just started mapping with our phones, which isn't as accurate. I think it's plus or minus 4 feet with your phone. And then Jason took it to John and was like, hey, look, you know, we spent, you know, 2 hours and this is how much we
Well, we got some locates, and I said, let's just do this, and I'll do this without anybody knowing. And went and located, doing part of our job, but I just took some pictures.
Yeah, just as a demo, right?
Just as a thing to take to you to be like, look at what we can do really fast and really accurate with the right equipment.
And then to watch it grow into this in such a short amount of time. This is fabulous. Awesome.
Yeah, it hasn't even been a year yet.
So. Yeah, I'm impressed.
Exactly right.
I think you guys should be complimented on the initiative that you have to do that, because it looks like a wonderful asset.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a huge thing for everybody. It's helping out.
So somehow within the group, if you're going out to something, the first thing you think about is, how have we mapped this yet? Or,
well, if you get a locate, you just jump on Diamond Maps and say that it's on Ocean Drive. Well, we know that Ocean Drive's fully mapped, so all we have to do is grab the GIS.
But everybody's geared mentally.
Yeah. Oh,
you have a laptop or?
No, it's all on our phones.
It's all on our phones.
Everybody has it in their handheld phone.
Yeah, so the field work is done via the phones typically, right?
Well, yeah, pretty much, yeah. And you just take your GPS with you, and if it's mapped, we'll just pull it up. Or, like, you can type in an address, any address you want. I can pull it up. And
I think I was talking more of the 25% that may not be done yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Is that if you guys are going out and you have... It's part of the 25% that hasn't been done.
Oh, yeah.
It's we got a leak, but okay, we're going to do this, locate it.
Oh, I don't let them leave without it. I do not let them leave without it.
Because if we're going to bother to locate it, we might, if it's not already located on the GIS, we might as well take a little extra time to do it.
Right. I mean, there's no reason not to, right?
Right.
All it is giving us information for later. And then, like you just asked, if everybody's leaving or going to do anything with any kind of situation that hasn't been touched, they're taking it with them. Like, they were pulling manholes today, doing manhole inspections, and I said, take the GPS with you, right? Because if any manhole, they get on Diamond Maps on their phone, if it's been located, move on to the next one. And if it hasn't, they'll locate it, put it on the map, and then they come back and they sync their phone to Diamond Maps, and it's on here forever.
Would you guys say we've got, what, 4 or 5 people for sure that are proficient in this?
There's me, Jeb, Bob, and pretty much the other guys have been helping, pretty much. Yeah. But the three of us have really knocked the majority of this out.
Something else, too, is anytime we go out and we're doing manhole inspections like he was talking about, we'll paint the direction of flow on the ground. So, like, if you go up to the heights, Jason, I know we just did some up there over by Lahaina.
Oh, Lahaina, I saw that today.
So we'll paint the direction of flow on there. And so basically what you're doing with the GIS is you're putting down like points of interest on there, like where the manholes are, where the lines are. And then you go back and then you can go in and draw in those lines, you know, kind of fill in the gaps and everything. And I don't know if you guys seen it or not, on one of the sewer maps, there's little arrows in the sewer mains. It actually shows the direction of flow over our sewer on the map.
Yeah, so it's not, we just don't know where it is. We know what direction it normally flows.
Yeah.
Boy.
And that's another awesome.
There it is.
Oh, it sure the one that we didn't put arrows on?
Yeah, the one that we
found. What about drains?
Like, we don't do storm drains.
Okay.
Nope.
That's
we're
not
we're
our
not in charge of the storm drains.
Those are all privately owned.
Yeah.
By the subdivisions. The only place you really see drains is in the subdivisions, basically. We're talking about Shore Pine, Dory Point, Pacific Sea Watch, Pacific Sunset. Stormwater. So we don't do any stormwater
so
stuff.
The line on the left right here is the 6-inch AC that's going away. Right here. This guy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So me and Jeb were using Maul last week. We had to do a bunch of locates for the surveyors that were coming. Jeb, who's been taught by Leonard, which very well, I'm not saying anything bad. What I'm saying is Jeb looked at me when I was running Maul across, he goes, that line ain't there. I said, you sound like Leonard. And,
I just want to paint the line on the ground.
Yeah, I said, Walla does not lie. So he said that line runs, where's the Village Coffee Shop?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, the Village Coffee Shop sign, everyone's seen it. He goes, Jeb's like, I've been told for 10 years this line runs right underneath that sign. And I said, no, it doesn't, because Mullen does not lie. And
it's right next to the sign.
It's right next to the sign. It was even on the road further, and he's like, I'm not painting. I can't paint that. I was like, it's there. Like, it was there for sure. And it was the same hyperbole all the way down North Broughton. The same hyperbole all the way down, same depth, same everything. And I knew it was right. And that just shows just what Mahler really does for us. Because you got people that have been here forever, and this is what he's been told. He doesn't know no different. It's not his fault.
I've never dug it up under the sign. I dug it up down the road or what, you know.
The analogy I like to use is when I take my GPS and I'm out hunting, and my GPS tells me my truck's that way, and I'm going, no, my truck's over there. Guess who's always right?
GPS.
Same on the ocean.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
No, it's just been a great thing for all of us. You can see Jeb here. He's got the GPS in his hand, and he's standing on.
Yep. There it is.
There's the meter. And that's the valve that just went out.
Yep.
With the lines on.
He's locating the precise GPS coordinates of that valve so that we can map it on the sun.
Yep. And then, like, when we're walking down a line, we have this sewer line painted. Diamond Maps allows us. I can just grab a point on my phone when he's got the GPS, and I said, let's just walk. And it'll give us, we'll walk the whole line. It'll follow it with the GPS, and I can stop it. It'll give me the exact distance, how long we are, how far we are between manholes. It shows us everything while we're mapping it. And then I can just throw it into here, and it's done.
So you're back to the conversation about the 25%. That's the stick you're telling people to take with them, that tool right there. Yeah.
That's the GPS that I have.
If there's ground, or if there's lines in the ground that we haven't located yet, then that we would also grab Mala and bring her out.
Yeah. Any line that's anything that's not located, that's the GPS right there.
Yeah. Locate or not, we eventually will get to those. But you know what? When we get called for locate that area that we know hasn't been marked yet, well, yeah, the guys are already programmed. Okay, we got to bring the equipment and we got to get that located while we're doing it.
Yeah.
Because not only does it provide the record, but then we know that it's located completely accurately at the same time before when we put paint on the ground. Or before, a lot of times it was just kind of a guessing game, right?
So no, it's we never have to go back to
it. Sound wants to.
So is the Mala is the
for a new line? Mm-hmm.
Is she easy to maneuver?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, fairly.
It's not. It's not real heavy.
No, it's not real heavy.
Okay.
It'll eventually. Remember, he was showing us how we got it
up that hill. Yeah, I know.
It took two of them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took two of us to carry that hill.
Is it similar to a lawnmower in size and weight and all that?
Very similar to a lawnmower. Very similar. Just no motor.
No wires.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can see we modified it a little. That's actually Bob put two pieces of pipe on there with some paint. So if you're mauling by yourself, you can just mark as you go.
Oh.
So most of the time you want two people usually. It's just safer with, you're trying to keep an eye on a screen. You never know who's coming around the corner.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, and I want to be mindful of the time here. If you guys got more questions, we're happy to keep talking about
it. I just got one question. I know you guys are, like you say, you're just moving with this on the run right now. But at some point when you get caught up, do you have plans of going from Horn Creek to the 300 to the 600?
Everything. Okay. We're going to get everything. Yep. There's nothing we're not going to get.
Yep, perfect.
It's all going to go on the Diamond Maps. For sure.
Wow.
Yeah, we're not going to stop at anything until it's done. Good. And then it's an organic thing, right? It's always going to change.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're talking about adding a new water line. Mm-hmm. New water lines.
All those services that are going to be put in on North Broad, and someone's going to be following them with pictures, GPS, and chasing them by every minute of the way, so we always have it.
So do you put on the new service lines, too, to the house?
Oh, yeah. That'll all be on. The service lines are all on here.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, this is never really a project that will be completely finished.
No. Because there's always going to be new everything.
It sounds like a daily tool.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It's used on the daily for sure. By somebody.
Mm, that's awesome.
If not everybody. If, you know, you're just looking for anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Something else with us, you know, we're going to replace that 6-inch line. Even after that line's gone, we're still required to locate that. Even after it's decommissioned and everything like that.
You don't take it out of the ground.
So you create another
This is another
layer and say abandon.
Well, that's what I'll do is I'll
we can go back,
change the color and create a layer. And we'll know that's a 6-inch AC that's abandoned.
Well, where it's not gone, it's just abandoned.
Well, yeah, it's just abandoned.
Yeah, I'll just change the layer.
We've had
a different color. Move on. It takes seconds to make a layer, too. They make this so easy to run. And I can't say one bad word about their customer service. Like when we first started, I called a few times. They were right on it. And there's only four guys.
Really?
There's only four of them.
In
Diamond Maps. In Indiana. There's only four guys.
They're located out of Indiana.
Yep. Yeah.
And like you say, you alluded to, the customer service has been.
Oh, it doesn't. I call and they answer. Amazing. Or I can get right on here. And I can ask them a question right now, and the owner or someone else is always on, and they'll answer my question right now.
Well, Well, all they have to do is go and look at our system, and they can follow along, right?
Yeah.
Because they've got, you know, they certainly have access to this.
They have access to it, but that's the only really people
that... Pretty lucrative business they've got there. For example, there's over 600 water companies just in Oregon. Yeah. $30 a month.
I've seen their map. When they pulled it up, I've seen their map of all the places. They have dots of all the places in the U.S. that have diamond maps, and it's everywhere, all over the U.S.
Well, this is going to put a lot of people out of business. That's how good this tool is. And it's just as good as the expensive software tools, at least for our purposes. And, you know, it's like you say, we subscribe to it for, is it $30 a month? You know?
It's $30.
$30 a month.
Yeah.
It's just a no-brainer.
That's really cheap. I would have thought that would have been up into $300 to $400.
And we would have been willing to pay it.
Yeah.
That was the biggest.
It would be great, but I would have paid $300 a month.
That was the biggest selling point. When they told me the price, I was like, no way. And they're like, yeah, it is. And he pulled. I mean, if you go to the front page of them, that's one of their selling points is when they throw you to a YouTube page and they tell you, yeah, you'll never believe the price. He couldn't believe the price.
I still don't believe the price.
So.
Okay, you better get locked in on that.
Yeah.
Well, we pay your subscription for sure.
And you can grab your little Google guy and throw him.
Oh, yeah, I can, just like on maps, like you do on your home, I can go down like this.
What's the Google guy? Street View. Look at that Street View.
I got Street View with all of the stuff that we, yeah. I can go anywhere you want.
And you're like, oh, yeah, it's right in front of the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes it easier for us, you know.
Which Terry has actually been really helpful on that too, because he's actually been going on Google and going and looking at the older maps.
Oh yeah.
And he's found a few things that have either been paved over, growed over, that, you know, we weren't sure that was there, but he could see them in earlier pictures in earlier years.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
And he was marking them, and then he would roughly mark them on the map when he'd go out and find them.
So
that's amazing.
And this is the one that this street right here, if you see Ferry and going up Hillcrest, Leonard came to me one day. He goes, I have no idea where that line is. I have no idea how it gets up the hill or, you know, where it stops or anything. I was like, all right. He just gave me a challenge. So I took Maul over there and dug. I got to go there on the map, though. And ran Maul everywhere. I could not find that thing for the life of me. But, so what I did, after, I thought I'd found it, and it happened to be the same hypotenuse as a cable line. I thought it was a galvanized small pipe, you know. We dug it up real fast, we potholed, and it was the cable TV. So I was like, okay, we got the vector truck out here already. Let's dig this up at the meter. Oh, the pictures haven't been added yet. Anyway, we took the vector because we had an idea where it was with Mala, dug down at the meter and found it. And that was the one where no one could believe. This is actually a service line that runs from here all the way.
That's crazy.
Service line.
That feeds these two houses.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
And it's a 1-inch going back that way, which I barely remember. Jeb was there, and he's like, that's 1-inch. Yeah, but anyway, and this is 3/4-inch running all the way to here. And that was found by Mala after relocating.
And look how crazy it runs. Yeah. Completely unusual circumstance where we have a single service line that branches off to the second house. Not linear at all, you know, in terms of 90-degree angles or anything like that. No wonder he didn't know where it was, because look at, you know, we find stuff, strange stuff like this out there that we would have never known.
I think it's going to be in a straight line.
Yeah. That we'd never know because we've got the equipment to actually tell us where it really is.
Yeah, Mala didn't lie right there. I found that one pretty fast. After I found it here, I was like, okay, now I know what it looks like. Yeah. I can dig into it.
Yeah.
Well, like historically in locates, you know, if you have a water main and the meter straight across your main, you paint it in a straight line.
Yeah.
When the boring crew was here, we actually took them all out and found a bunch of those service lines that had a big bow to them and went to the opposite end of the line. There was some weird stuff.
Well, just like right here on Ferry, this was marked forever, supposedly, that this water line here fed this house. This was located this way per Jeb forever. This was located this way. This was located this way, and come to find out, Mala found that there's a water line that feeds these houses.
We didn't know that there's a water line.
Didn't know there was a water line.
Okay. Yeah.
So, anyway, I can keep going and going.
Yeah. It's impressive.
It really is. Yeah.
It sounds like you guys are enthusiastic and using it and whatnot, so it's...
Oh, I came here today just to see the presentation. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's working well for us. I think John likes it too. I mean, it's.
I like it. I mean, from what I see here, I thought this would take a year and a half and $100,000 to achieve.
Yeah. And we did it, yeah, like I said, August 13th last year, we bought Diamond Maps. So.
Well, thank you, Jason.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Awesome. Excellent work.
Thanks for finding it for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Great.
You were at the right place at the right time.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, if it wasn't for him spearheading it and just trying the free trial, you know, we might not ever.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
That's excellent.
Oh, I was going to say that. Time and money.
Excellent. Yeah, nice job. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Appreciate that very much. Jason's forgotten more about that program than I'll probably ever know. So.
Good job, Jason.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Well, we got one more agenda item if you guys want to move on to it.
Okay, authority manager position profile.
Yeah, so... everybody's familiar with this profile. Provided a copy to everybody in the board packet for a special meeting. That was the profile that I responded to 5 years ago when I pursued this position. I think it's a great tool. I think it really does a good job of getting people's attention. But it needs a few updates. Let's see, we got 5 pages. One thing that the board needs to decide is what they feel is an appropriate salary range for this position. When I took the position, it was advertised at 85 to 125. 85 is too low. We've got a couple people that are making it that or a tad bit more. So that aren't the authority managers. So my suggestion is to change that from 85 to 125 to 100,000 to 135. If we go to page 2. The stuff in yellow needed to be updated because this is talking about information that changes over time. We've added a couple of employees and a new position, or two new positions since I've been here. So that area in the yellow is just my attempt to provide an accurate count of our current operators.
Some housekeeping stuff.
On page 3, the opportunity and challenges, I've made a little bit more of a substantive edits on that. I'll come back to that section once I get to the end. On page 4, change some about the education and experience. I think I've updated that to be more closely aligned with our more recently revised
authority manager job description.
Well, explain the undergraduate and bachelor's are run together there. Ours, what?
The bachelor's got a red line through it. It said bachelor's.
Oh, and I see it.
And I changed that language to an undergraduate degree, which means it could be an associate degree or a bachelor's degree. And the reason I did that is, for example, of the two college degrees I've got, one of them is an associate degree in water and wastewater technology. So somebody who has a two-year college degree that is precisely this line of work, if somebody comes across with that's probably a decently strong candidate for the position. Because not a lot of people have a college degree, albeit just an associate's degree, in this field of work precisely. So because of that, I thought it was better to call it an undergraduate instead of forcing a bachelor degree for the position. Changed a little bit of the language and stuff. On that page 4 under that education and experience, and then again at the bottom of page 5, again it shows the salary range for the position. And for some reason we only had 9 paid holidays and 1 floating day listed. We've actually got 12 paid holidays and plus one floating holiday. I know we added one a couple years ago when we did that day after Thanksgiving.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, that was just an update that needed to happen. So my goal is, and in talking to our recruiting firm, they're hopeful that we can collectively update this to where the board is happy with where it's at. And I can tell you that most of this, you know, it talks about the community and the area, and all that doesn't have to change, in my view. Yeah. If you've read that, it's all still very well written, very accurate.
I have one thing to add in that section. It's page 1.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've noticed over the years is that culturally, this community and a lot of beach communities are a big difference from bigger cities in that it's a very laid-back, easygoing atmosphere compared to a faster culture in the cities. So about the third or fourth sentence in that area where it ends up, the area's stunning natural scenery and outdoor recreational opportunities also make the area a unique and beautiful tourist destination. And I was thinking right there would be a good place to add Pacific City's laid-back vibe and its friendly atmosphere creates a small-town charm that's unique in this community. That I thought would kind of...
Would you shoot me an email and word it precisely that way, Tom? That is...
Because we do, culturally, that's kind of how we are. Yeah. You know, we're laid back, and that's, you know, something that someone would be interested in if they're looking to, you know, move from a different area. And I think it fits this community a little better to add into that section.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I and you and I talked a little bit about that, Tom.
I mentioned this also to Rob, who is our Prothman consultant.
Okay, yes.
I didn't say those exact words, but I said to let people know, because moving from a big city type of service or authority like we are here would be a culture shock, you know, for, you know, a family, for example. So
yeah, especially in the middle of winter.
Or, you know, for somebody who might be moving here from Seattle, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Somebody.
No.
So do we have something in here about medical care?
Well,
because I
at the very last page.
Not insurance, but availability.
Said medical, oh, you're talking about the facilities
hospitals
in the area?
Yeah, we have two hospitals, Lincoln okay. City and Tillamook, and that we have a clinic here in town, that we have a strong ambulance service here.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
I think that is a good idea. Okay. I can add a couple of things there. Any other suggestions on kind of that general area and community descriptions?
Well, and I don't really, I'm not sure about language, how we would say it, but, you know, it talks a lot about the community and the outdoor recreation and a lot of those kind of things. But it doesn't talk about, like, things we have in community, things that we could, that people could get involved in here.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know what that would be if we want to talk about Vinesco, or there's fitness things to do, or there's
nonprofit organizations.
There's Torta, there's the, you know,
community center and all that.
Yeah, there's a lot of community activities, not just outdoor recreational activities, because, you know, especially if you get, like, maybe a wife that comes in, she might not want to just go out and hike. Maybe she'd like to do
quilting.
There's a Stitcher's Club. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know.
Summer parades.
And I don't know. We don't have to go on and on with that.
Yeah.
Look at you. What are you doing that?
Well, I wondered if there's a link that we could put that grabs that.
Does the community center offer those?
Well, there's a Pacific City link of some kind, and I just...
So I'm not sure how to word that, and I'm not sure what you'd want to include, but I think maybe we should include that there's also, you know, local things to do here, other than just outdoor recreation.
Bingo on Thursdays.
Well, yeah, I mean, some people like that.
Sure. And I do know they talk a lot about the festivals and the celebrations already in other parts of that document.
Right.
So they talk about Dory Days, they talk about Clover Days, they can talk about
the,
all that.
The chamber has several links about activities.
Yeah.
The chamber link would be a really good idea. I've seen it somewhere.
I couldn't remember where. I'm not sure either. I haven't really thought about it until just tonight.
So we have lots of information in there about outdoor and outdoor activities, etc. And we have one sentence about schools.
All right.
I think we really need to have a little bit more information about the school system. You know, that they have a wonderful industrial arts program and wonderful music program and so on, award-winning.
Other art.
If you have an applicant that has children,
we have a pretty good art community.
So you're talking about at the high school level?
Well, kindergarten.
K through 8.
K through 12.
K through two different schools.
Okay.
I mean, we have a brand new school.
State of the art school.
You know, the trades at the high school, that building there is fabulous. If you've never seen it,
so that's like an industrial arts
trades
at the high school?
Yeah.
And I think it does mention the community college and other things, right? Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, well, I see it even goes into detail about restaurants and stuff in here, you know, that they talk a little bit about that too, right?
Yeah.
We do have a grocery store, but, I think the worst part about Pacific City is if you want to do serious grocery shopping.
Yeah, it's not here.
Yeah, or even serious Christmas shopping or any type of thing like that, right? Yeah. But
hey, we have great bazaars.
Yeah, so much. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't snow much.
It doesn't snow much.
Mild.
Usually in March. Just in March.
And not that it makes any difference to the job, but there hasn't been a 4th of July celebration in Pacific City for several years. There's no fireworks in Pacific City anymore.
Yeah, so maybe I should delete.
Let's not put that in there.
That reference? Okay.
I see them all the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fireworks in this town.
They're just not.
Especially woods.
Especially on Friday night.
I don't know, man.
Yeah,
it's
nice when it woods.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good feedback. Any other significant feedback on any of the other sections? I wanted to bring up the opportunity and challenges section because that was something that I'm kind of torn by some of the things in here. I feel like this is probably somewhere where I need to say something about the fact that we've got a water line replacement project in mid completion,
works, right?
That you know, or other things that I'll have to pass off. We've got you know, a CMMS system that still has a lot of development left to do to it, which is our work order and asset management program. Still got a lot of configuration to that. We just applied for a grant for a water source protection plan that may not be done before I leave. You know, should I try to account for some of those handoff type of projects so that the person that's coming in knows that these will be probably some of the immediate needs or challenges of the position?
It probably wouldn't hurt to put some of that in there, like the major.
I think it's kind of a double-edged sword.
I don't think you want to scare people.
Well,
that's kind of a scare tactic.
How much information were you given?
Well, the one thing I took out, and this talks about other things, but it talks about them in more general terms, like, you know, storage. While the water district currently has 1 million gallons of storage, additional capacity would be a safeguard in the event of a major fire. So that's kind of a cue for the next person or something for the next person to keep in mind.
Or maybe expand our language around the master plans.
Yeah.
Well, but the master plan is what I took out because the master plans aren't due again for over 15 years.
Yeah. But I also see as somebody coming in, they're going to want some kind of a challenge
with
too.
Projects that have been completed, correct?
Oh, no, it's not up to date, but the master plans, anytime you mess with that, they have to be done by a certified engineer on the water side. Yeah. And
I'm just saying if somebody looked at the master plan today, that they wouldn't see stuff that had been...
Well, they wouldn't see some of the lift station stuff we've done and all that. I'm reluctant to revisit the master plans too frequently because they're more still a look ahead, and you may have gotten some things done that weren't on the original plan. But if they're done, they aren't going to be added to the plan anyway, because you don't talk about things that have already been done. You talk about what needs to still be done, right? So there's really isn't a way to update the plans on past things accomplished. There's only a thing that's really almost strictly a tool to look ahead and say what is not done that needs to be done and is something we have to prioritize, think about, and budget for.
And if somebody's really looking, I mean, they can go to the website and they can pull the master plan.
Yeah. I'll just say in the industry, it's very uncommon to go back and continually update master plans for the whole 20 years.
Yeah.
They're usually just a look-ahead document. Doesn't mean that everything you plan gets done. Doesn't mean that everything you predicted that would happen happens. But I can tell you that if we start tinkering with the master plans and continually tweaking them, that'll get expensive, and I think it's just something I wouldn't advise, because usually a master plan, whether you hit everything or miss it, It's a 20-year look ahead, and 20 years later, you do another one and try to improve on your projections at that point. There's just not a lot in the plan to cover things that were expected that weren't expected in the original plan, but were done. There's really isn't a way to bring that up in the plan because it's a look forward, not a look behind. You know what I mean? So, and if we were to treat master plans that way, it'd be very unusual. Yeah. Most people just
do them and let them go. Yeah, we should leave that master plan alone. But back to the challenges. I mean, we should, we need to identify a few of the challenges then.
Well, I think we do. But
somebody's going to want to know what they're looking at, too.
But you guys mentioned master plans, and that's the one thing I crossed off the list, because when I came here, that was an immediate need. It was something that wasn't done.
Right.
Now they're done, and we're not required by law to do another one for 16 years.
Yeah.
So I think that's a ways off in the future and probably not something that has to be mentioned
right
now. For the next authority manager that will succeed me.
I agree.
So,
let me ask a question here. What is, in the past 20 years, what's been the history of employment in a person in your position? How long have they stayed?
Well, the first person that was here was Tony. Tony was here and worked for the sewer district when they were two separate districts.
Forever.
And those were combined in 1998.
And he didn't retire until 2019.
And he didn't retire until 2019. And so,
he was the longest.
Oh, by far.
Employed as the manager.
By far, and he was here. Well, he was here for the joint authority for almost his whole history. But he was even here when. Working
he worked for the sewer district,
I believe.
Probably 10 years.
Before that. So he was here about 30 years, I would say. Maybe in total.
Yeah, I think his plaque that we gave him said 29.
29. So that was until 2019. Then we, Tony retired and we hired another person that only lasted a year and a half.
Okay.
And then that's when I came in. And the ironic thing about it is a year and a half earlier, I saw the job announcement and I almost applied for it. And I didn't. But then when it came up again a year and a half later, I applied for it. So 30 years, a year and a half, and my retirement at about 5.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty steady. Pretty steady.
Well, that's a pretty good, bunch of feedback. Did you throw something together and kind of bring it to us next month?
Well, I want to bring it to you sooner than that.
Okay, well, let's do it with email.
So what I'd like to do is I'll make another draft with the comments I've gotten. If I can think of anything that is just more of a heads up instead of a warning on the opportunities and challenges. I'll try to put something down there. But what we want to do, we want to get this advertisement out before our next monthly meeting. In fact, if we can get it out within the next 2 weeks, we should try to do so. Which means what I'll do is I'll make the revisions, I'll send it to everybody, and as long as you reply back to me individually with your thoughts, comments, suggestions, then I can work that way and we can keep the ball rolling without having to call a special meeting or without having to wait a month for our next meeting. I think it would behoove us to get this revision done, get the final draft done as soon as possible so that we can get it out there and start advertising.
So make sure when you reply, you do not reply all. Just reply.
Yep, just reply. Do not reply.
Otherwise, we run into public meeting law.
So yeah, even if all five people are all on the same email chain, that's not allowed.
Yeah,
that's not allowed.
Public meeting law. So
yeah.
So does
be aware.
I mean, Prothman has the original.
Yeah.
Okay, and so they're already. Rob's already working through that.
Well, he's working through that to some degree. Has he called and talked to everybody?
No. I have an appointment tomorrow.
I do, too.
Okay.
And I don't have one.
I have an appointment set for tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
I don't have one for a little bit because he's not available next week, and okay. I wasn't available this week.
Well, I've already talked to him. Have you talked to him, Max?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, he's going to be busy tomorrow.
Well, see, that's what he's doing is because he wants to talk to each of the board members and get their impression of what qualities that they are looking for an authority manager.
Hard skills, soft skills, challenges, and opportunities.
Yeah.
That's what he's looking for.
Yeah. You know, the type of maybe the personality traits that might be, you know, a good fit for the community or for the job that may not be the type of thing that is spelled out in something like this. But that's what he's doing. He's relying on me to spearhead the effort to get this mm-hmm. document ready for prime time.
Which I'd agree needs to get done quickly.
Yeah. So I will continue to work on this, and I'll send you guys out an update probably early next week. And if you guys can look it over, respond back, let me know your thoughts, any further edit suggestions. But I've got enough to keep me busy for a little while.
Yeah.
And if that is agreeable to the board, then that's the way we probably should do it to keep the progress moving.
All right.
So I'm not going to be available for the next meeting, July on the 14th, and that's an important meeting. Is there any way we can change it?
Well, we got Dory days and...
Yeah.
And there's going to be a bunch of stuff going on right then.
July is busy, unfortunately.
I can make just about any time that you guys are free. So the meeting in July, would be the 14th.
You don't have to have the executive session during the regular business meeting. You can make that a special meeting.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be at 5 o'clock, and it doesn't.
See, we have a
at the Kiwanis Center.
We have a budget meeting when? It's like the 19th,
June 23rd. There's an adoption meeting.
I got that. I'm going to make that. My July is
June 23rd. I don't even have that on my calendar.
I'll try.
Okay.
What time is that?
5 o'clock.
June 23rd. Okay.
If we wanted to keep it a Tuesday, I mean, I'd be available July 21st if you want to change it from the 14th. And I think that's it.
I don't have mine with me, so I can't tell you.
Yeah, me personally, I think I'm on vacation that month, towards the end of the month.
Yeah, at the end of the month, I'm wrong. So those Tuesdays, the 14th, which is the regular meeting we scheduled, or the 21st works for me. But, well.
The 14th or the 21st for you?
Yeah, works for me.
Okay. And Tom, you probably got to look at your appointments or whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You think you'll be on vacation on the 21st, Max?
Yeah, I have to double check. Okay. But usually the last week and a half of every month I'm gone.
I'll be gone.
Okay.
But I can do Teams.
Is there any way you can remote in, Kathy?
I'm going to be on an airplane.
Yeah, that's going to be a little tough. Well, whatever you guys think, it sounds like no matter what we pick, somebody's probably going to miss.
Yeah.
You can always move it to August. The special meeting. The executive session.
The executive session.
Retro John's.
Back to July.
I mean the executive session and what's going on with me is not a huge concern.
I know what's important is the recruitment stuff.
That's the July 14th.
That's kind of keeping things going.
Well, give us some options and let us know.
Well, I tell you what, if you guys would for me, why don't each of you send me an email, look at the month. I mean, we could do it even a little earlier in July, too, potentially. But If I could get an idea from everybody, what are their absolute no dates?
Yep.
Then hopefully I can find something that works for everybody.
Okay.
But if you guys wouldn't mind doing that, I can help try to set this up so that everybody can be there.
All right. I'll send you my open days for July.
Okay.
That All right. Good. Well, then we'll go ahead to item 9 on the agenda. Guest questions and comments. We have several guests. You all have anything that you noticed about the meeting, you enjoyed, or comments? Well, I'd like chair, director comments. This is the next item, and I just want to thank you gentlemen for your hard work. That was really an impressive display.
Very impressive.
That really is.
And we really appreciate it. I mean, that's thinking ahead of the curve. Nice work, gentlemen.
Nice work.
Well done.
If there are no other comments, it is now 7:19 p.m. This meeting is adjourned.